You know, during a 12-hour prayer, we prayed. One of the things that Apostle emphasized was, Lord, help us to see beyond our current perspective. And it's like, do we see it? It's like I hear Holy Spirit even almost yelling in this moment. It's like, do you see it? And I'm waiting on Pastor Deborah because I'm going to tell her a story and she's going to show a picture. Because we are in such critical times. And the assignment of the believer is not based upon outcome of elections. It's not based upon who's in office, who's not. If your preferred candidate won or not. While there is a spiritual connotation to a person in leadership, because the person in leadership can either cause things to be released or cause them not to be released, good or bad. But even with that dynamic going on, the assignment of the ecclesia, those who are called out, those who are God's ambassadors, the believers, is the same. And that is to go and make disciples, to advance the kingdom of God in every walk or every sphere of influence. And kingdom advancement brings about warfare. The last time I shared, I talked about being a kingdom advancer. And I shared how God is getting us battle ready and is fortifying us. Because too often spiritual warfare has been viewed as something spooky, something that is over-fascinated, where people are having 60-minute long sessions with a demon when they're casting a demon out of a person. They want to interview them and doing all of this kind of crazy stuff. And so spiritual warfare is more proactive than reactive. Say proactive. It is more proactive than reactive. Most people think that because they get attacked, then they're in warfare. Warfare begins the minute you purpose your heart, your mind, and your actions to advance the kingdom. Because by nature of kingdom advancement, you are engaging in warfare. Because you're taking territory, you're uprooting, you're dismantling, and you're planting. So let me tell you this story, because I know today I'm gonna just talk to you. I'm not gonna try to do the preacher thing. I just wanna have a prophetic conversation. Can we have a prophetic conversation? Yell it back at me, can we? Okay. For the people online, I hope they're like putting emojis in and anything like that. And if you're watching online, make sure you share, you tag somebody, because this is an essential word. Father, thank you for what you have given me to say. Thank you, Lord, that you are thinking through my mind, speaking through my lips. I declare this word would come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. I declare breakthrough, signs, wonders, and miracles occurring as a result of this word. And most of all, I thank you, Jesus, that you are being glorified and that your people are being strengthened today. Let those who leave this sanctuary, those who watch online, let them feel a sense of supernatural strength and urgency as a result of this word. If you agree, say amen. Amen. So back in March, I had a dream. And in this dream, well, first, before I had the dream, let me tell you what happened. So I was in a room in my house called an encounter room. And this room faces the front of my house. Like I have a window that faces the front of my house. So I was in the room praying and studying and doing all these things. And while in the room, now here in Cincinnati, for those who are watching in other places, there's a thing here called a turkey vulture. It is a big black vulture, but the head of it looks almost like the head of a turkey. And I've never seen them before until I moved here. So I'm in this room, and I'm sitting at my table, and I'm studying, and the window is to my right. I look up. This turkey vulture flies so close to my window, I thought it was about to crash into it. And in my mind, I was thinking, that's extremely strange. Why is this thing flying so low? So I thought it for a moment. Then, you know, like most of us, we go about our business. He was like, that was weird. And we keep it moving, right? So 3 days later, I had a dream. Now, in this dream, I was outside looking up at the sky, and I saw two turkey vultures flying. And in the dream, I could see it flying over not just where I live, but I could see it flying like over this area where the embassy is located. So then I thought, that is not a coincidence. Sometimes when God is revealing something to you, he will use nature to get your attention, and then he will also speak to you in a dream. The Bible says in Joel that we would see visions, we would dream dreams. So after I had that dream, I knew the Lord was saying something to me. So I did some research. Like, what is the significance of a vulture? What are the characteristics of a vulture? So as I started looking at it, I found out that the Egyptian culture viewed the vultures as guardians for the pharaohs. And they said it was the guardian of one specific queen called Nekhbet, and who would symbolize by wearing vulture stuff around her crown and on her head. And they believe that this Queen Nekhbet was a protectress of Upper Egypt and the guardian of the institution of the pharaohs. And they believed that the pharaoh, that the vulture was like some type of, in their mind, prophetic, and I'm using air quotes, prophetic symbol. Now, we know in the Egyptian culture, when they talk about, they were talking about something prophetic, they were talking about really the occult, the New Age, divination. So now I'm like, okay, so these vultures symbolize divination and the occult. But then as I kept researching, I found out that they represent ancestral and territorial spirits. So I was like, wait a minute. So now I'm recognizing that we are planted in this area specifically because we are dismantling, uprooting, driving out occult, territorial, and divination spirits. Now, I hope you see, I'm not trying to be deep, but I need to tell you the reality of what you're dealing with. And so it makes me understand why, when we moved from Crescentville 747 and into this space here, we engaged in another level of warfare. And the warfare wasn't just with, oh, now we're owning building, we own a city block. It is the city that we are planted has an ancestral spirit that was trying to grip this city and grip the nation. And first the city, the county, the region, and then the nations. Because in this county is where the county educational center is, and the courthouses, and everything for the whole county. And then, of course, this region impacts what happens in Cincinnati, you know, a little bit south for those who don't live in the area. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that brings some revelation on some stuff as to why we need to war, why we need to be so aggressive. Why sometimes people may feel like, I don't feel like coming today. Or people who come and then all of a sudden fall off. It's like, wait a minute. You've been used to dealing with one type of spirit, but now when we change locations, there's a different type of spirit that we're dealing with, and you have to up your game when it comes to fighting. So then, you know, ancestral spirits they try to have possession of spaces and places and territory because something was done on that land before something got there. And when you get there, you have to uproot them. Because if you don't, they think they have permission to remain. Which is why in Numbers 33, God told them, when you enter the land, demolish their figured stones, their high places, and their molten images. Now, I taught all of that real in depth on Thursday, so you got to see that live stream. And so, but the real quick, the stone, the figured stones is something demonic in the foundation. Meaning in the foundation, there was something that was a portal or access point to an evil spirit. And so you have to say, Lord, what is in the foundation of this place that I am in or this city I am in that has an access point to something evil so I can dismantle it? A molten image is something that they created out of what was brought forth. So what is being produced from this place that God has sent me that is an access point to something evil? I hope you've seen that in terms of your deployment. And then, of course, the high places is when these things think they try to exalt authority. It's a false sense of authority. It's a facade. Because these spirits, these witches, these warlocks, they like to sit high because they want to feel like they have position when they don't. So I recognize my immediate response was, of course, to exercise authority at that time. Now fast forward to a couple weeks ago, we had this 12-hour prayer encounter. And then, of course, that was powerful that Friday, that Saturday. That Sunday. And yes, I saw that. Okay. And so we had this powerful prayer time. Now, coming in last Sunday, Pastor Deborah, if you could show the picture, this is what I saw when I came in. And Pastor Deborah saw it, Pastor John saw it. So coming onto the grounds. Now, if you can see that picture, I mean, those of you watching the stream, you can't see it right now because we didn't get to load it, but let me describe it. So at the top of our building, there's like a chimney. Now, on this chimney, and I'm counting, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 turkey vultures sitting. And when I pulled onto the grounds, we have, you know, where there's an island that leads to the main parking lot. And I always drive to the right. There was one sitting right in the middle of the driveway in between, next to the island and the grass. Now, initially, I was thinking, I'm just going to run it over. But then I thought, I don't want this thing scratching my car. So I went around. But I saw it and was like, wait a minute. We've been exercising authority to such a degree. And then our worship gatherings have been intensifying in demonstration of presence and power. Then we came committed to 12 hours of intercession regarding the 12 spheres of influence. And then the very next week, we see some spirit calls for reinforcements. Yeah, I said seven mountains, didn't I? Oh, I'm sorry. The seven spheres of influence. The 12-hour time we pray for the seven spheres of influence. And then the next week, I see this. We see this. So immediately when I came in, I got out my car. Shaka talabakande obokosha. Breke shekamarobokosate. And then I said, I take authority. And then I began to take authority over every spirit that tried to converge. Because the Bible says when you cast out a spirit, it tries to go get some more that's more wicked than itself. And so I took authority at the moment when I saw it. And then the next day, they were gone. Now, I share that to say this. that we have to be aware of spiritual realities, and we can't be ignorant and think they don't exist. And we cannot be fearful of turkey vultures as a manifestation of demonic activity. We can't be afraid thinking that the enemy is coming to get us. What's happening is the enemy is afraid because we're coming to get them. Colossians 2 and 15 says this. We're talking about Jesus, Colossians 2 and 15. Now, this is a verse that should be ingrained in your membrane forever. It says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, you don't even have to read the whole verse. The first 10 words says enough. When he, talking about Jesus, had disarmed the rulers and authorities. Read that with me. 1, 2, ready, read. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities. Say it again from your chest. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities. Yell it loud for the people watching online. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Say, I have power over every power of the enemy. Say, I have power over every power of the enemy. And so the enemy would try to come, and when he tries to come, he tries to bring confusion, division, misinformation. He tries to divert your attention and distract you. He tries to bring sickness. He tries to bring violence, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. He tries to attack finances. He tries to bring death, destruction, oppression, possession, evil seeds, and curses. But all of those things have been disarmed. Say disarmed. Now, right now, because I want you to really feel this. I want you to take 30 seconds and begin to release your prayer language in the Holy Ghost. Because I want to build you up today. Come on, pray loud so everybody can hear you. Branda kayuko shinama sakata la tayata. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You have to know that these things have been disarmed. And you must know that these things are trying to war against you, but every weapon has already been disarmed. So you can't forfeit your authority by allowing things that should not be allowed. It's like, can't you see it? You have authority. Come here, Val. So last week as well, now we're just talking, and I want you to hear us by the Spirit of God so you can discern the time that we are in. This isn't one of those, I'm going to pump you up messages. You up. We got to get you a mic. Because last week, Val was sitting here, and the Lord spoke something to her that I was like, And God spoke specifically about the women of this house. And then when I heard it, I was like, that applies to everybody. Hallelujah. Is she muted back there? Hold on. Let's get the other one. Hallelujah. This word gonna come forth.
Check, 1, 2, testing.
Come on.
Hallelujah. So I think it was during the praise and worship. I don't even know when, but Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, specifically about the women, that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat. And matter of fact, he said, some of the women are being sifted as wheat. And the reason is to separate you out from among the people where you should be residing, because location determines your elevation.
Come on.
So if the enemy can sift you, and we understanding for those who cook, we understand that sifting is a process, right? When you're doing flour and you're sifting. So it happens a little over time. And before you know it, you are out of place and you are alone. Now what that means is the enemy, he can't stop you from going to heaven, but the impact that you're supposed to have. This is Apostle John, y'all.
You're not supposed to tell people that it's him texting.
Yes. So yep. The impact that you're supposed to have, the ground that you're supposed to gain, that will be impeded and in some cases stopped. So we tend to think that God is a merciful God, and he is. But just think about Moses. It was the intention of God for Moses to enter into the promised land. But did he? Did he? No. And so most of us rely on the fact that God loves me. He knows my heart. But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, his desire is to sift you as wheat. So this is the admonishment. Stay attached.
Yes.
Stay connected.
Yes.
One thing Jamal was talking about was deployment. And he mentioned to me yesterday, he said, when I was researching, I found out that people can go AWOL during deployment. Now, it's good to research, but who knows better? Somebody that has had experience or somebody that's on the outside? So since I know for myself that I've had experience, you can go AWOL during deployment, but it's one of the hardest things you will ever do. Do you know how much work you have to put into trying to leave and do whatever it is you're trying to do during deployment? And so that's the same thing with you spiritually.
Yes.
So don't allow the enemy, and he said this pertains to everybody, to sift you as wheat.
Now, I'm sorry.
Then Apostle texted the chorus, casting down enemies and holding up the banner of the Lord. Destroy principalities and holding up the banner of the Lord, setting the captive free and holding up the banner of the Lord. Now, period.
Now, here's the thing with that, too. Because deployment is when you've been sent by God into your assignment. So it is harder to, when God has sent you and placed you on assignment, it's more difficult to go AWOL then than when you are in training. And we're going to take authority over these things before we leave today, because the enemy will not sift anybody in this house like wheat. Because I declare that just like Jesus said, Father, out of all you've given us, we've lost none. And Jesus said, except for the one, the son of perdition, which was Judas. Now, in this house, there is no Judas. And so we don't have to worry about losing a Judas. But in this house, everybody that's connected, that's supposed to be in place, will not be lost, and they will be in place. And in fact, let's just take a second and intercede right now. Just begin to pray in the spirit for about 30 seconds that we and declare we will not lose none, not one person connected to this house, not one person connected to what we're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. I know this is a different kind of message, but go ahead and just jump into this river of intercession. Not one person who's supposed to be connected. They will not be disconnected. No one will be sifted like wheat. Halaboko shitandioso terere makasa taye. Breke se konobo sondia takanda la la mako shit. Breke se keterere mandororo boko sondiri bakanda la la mako shoto. Breke se kandio sondie sama. Brakandio sundiri bisundororo boko sandiri mekanda. Breke seke breke shetere da mantoro boshita. Brakata la 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 makondororo boko setina niba kandoro bosota. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Kashi kora rana masa kasho torebeke. Ane manta korobo kosondi libeke sentaniovo sonda. God bless you. I intercede for this house. Everybody who's been here in the past, everyone who's here right now, and everyone who's coming in the future. Hallelujah.
Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray with intensity. Haya kosa tiki araba sota. Hidiya koso tororobo sota. Yaraba kanda. Haya kosa tiki araba sota. Tororobo sanda. Hallelujah. We speak in the spirit realm and we tell the angels of God to go forth and bring back those who left prematurely and those who are supposed to be here connected to this vision, that they not only be here for themselves, but he be here for the fulfillment of the purpose that God has given us as a house. I thank you, Father God, that even now, Holy Spirit, you are speaking and you're bringing back those who are supposed to be here. There is safety in a multitude of counsel, and we are a multitude of wise counsel. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God, that we are recovering what the enemy has tried to take from us since taking ownership of this grounds, of these properties. I thank you, Father, that your will is being accomplished here in the earth as it is in heaven. That which you have spoken, it is settled in heaven and in earth. And there truly is nothing that the enemy can do about it. And I thank you that the men and women of God are rising and taking their position, standing in their authority, knowing who they are, what you've called them to do, and where you called them to be. We don't take this lightly, Father. We pray for our brother and our sister. We believe, Father God, that they can hear you because you said another voice they will not follow.
Yes, come on.
And we thank you now that even now, right now, hallelujah. The other thing that Holy Spirit told me was that the reason that people can be sifted is because you have become unhappy. You're in a place of disappointment, things not happening the way you think that they should. And therefore, you're feeling hopelessness. But Father, I pray for those now. I pray for their hearts, their yes. minds. You will shift their perspective, that they will begin to see as you see.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, you said you would guide and lead into all truth. And we pray for our sisters and brothers that their lives not be taken off track by the lie of the enemy, but that you will continue to lead them into all truth. Now, what I want you to do, anyone you know that's not here that should be here, I want you to begin to pray for them right yeah. now. You know people who are not here right now. So begin to pray. Let's take a few more minutes and pray in the spirit for them.
Take 30 to 60 seconds because there's more I want to show you. Hallelujah. And as you are praying, text them and say, where you at? Hallelujah. Breketele mekhandala bakasa korobo kushete metana masoto. Brendi ribi damborombo kosetele rere makasa tananana masata yo. Breketele masa kondurobo koso tele mishundaye. Brekanana masa koso. Glory. 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 Every lie, every mindset, hey, shot, that's trying to bring, that's, that enemy's trying to use to sift them, we break it now in the name of Jesus. Every word curse that they've spoken out of their mouth, that they've spoken out of discontent, right, by shot, that we break it now in the name of Jesus. The enemy has been disarmed. Glory. 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 Now let me show you a little something, because we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 verse 31 is where we're going to be for the remainder of our time. Hallelujah. Which is very short. I got like 6 minutes. Hallelujah. But let me dig a little deeper, because Val started going there, and I'm like, girl, get out my notes. About the sifting process. Because traditionally, sifting is done by shaking the material through a mesh or a sleeve or sieve. Now, the sifting process, there are three aspects of it for the process to be complete. There's the threshing, which is when the wheat is broken apart, and the wheat is threshed to break apart the stalks and separate the kernels from the outer husk. Now, Val spoke to that, because the first process is to try to break you apart and separate you from your covenant community and from the place that God has planted you and from the assignment of the Lord in the different spheres of influence. Because the enemy won't come and try to separate you from God, because that's too obvious. He'll separate you from assignment and from people of God who will help you fulfill your assignment. And then the next step is winnowing. And this step involves tossing the grain into the air to let the lighter chaff blow away. Now, the scripture talks about not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So after the enemy tries to get you away, get you isolated, and you think, well, it's just me and Jesus, and I'm just spending time by myself with Jesus. I understand those moments, but when you spending time by yourself with Jesus, but when it's time to gather, you need to gather, because you don't know who God will speak to speak to you. And he knows you're trying to withdraw and spend time. So that's why he has the apostle that he set to watch over your soul, to be covering for you. And so when you come into the community, he may say something to you that you've been trying to hear on your own but couldn't. So after the separation is the tossing. That's when you get on your own. Now, all of a sudden, these other winds of doctrines come. These doctrines that tell you, oh, you don't need the body of Christ. It's just you and Jesus. You're going to do your assignment, whatever. Or, oh, you don't need this. You don't need that. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else kind of situation. All of these different ideas and perceptions and thoughts come. Because some thoughts can't come to you when you're in the company of the saints. When you're doing your part as a ligament. But see, this sifting comes, because I was asking Holy Spirit, when does the sifting come? The sifting comes when you are at training camp or basic training. When you're learning the kingdom, or right before, when you're learning your assignment, your spear, your metron, that's when the sifting comes to keep you from being deployed. Now, the last part of sifting is when is the actual part that we refer to most commonly when it's sifted using a sieve or a mesh. The thing is this, though, with threshing, I was like, okay, if the first step is threshing, what is that? Now, threshing is a breaking. It involves breaking or beating to loosen something. Now, some of you may have been feel like things have been trying to break you, trying to beat up on you. That's the enemy who's been trying to hit you to make you loosen your grip. And to shake your resolve. And then the next part of threshing involves separating as well. Notice a lot of these parts talk about separating, separation. When we're a body, but the enemy's coming to separate us. It says, once the grains are loose, they can be separated more easily. So this is what Jesus said. Now, when Jesus said this, it was a very interesting dynamic going on. He was at what we call the Last Supper. He's given the First Communion. We know at this point, not only did Judas have in his heart to betray Jesus, like it says in John, but at this point it says Satan entered Jesus. See, it started with a seed that was placed in the heart, and that seed grew, and now it allowed for possession. Satan entered Judas. Now Judas is dipping out, but then now the same dynamic is happening. Satan wants Peter. Now, why would Satan want Peter? They were at the cusp of a culmination of the fulfillment of why Jesus came. Because he came, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he did all of that. But the culmination of why he really came was the cross. See, sometimes you can be right there at your tipping point. You might not even sense it or see it because it's happening in the realm of the spirit. The enemy's trying to distract you so you can't realize what's happening in the realm of the spirit. And then he tries to get you to forfeit so he can sift you right at the moment of your breakthrough. So it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. And I'm going to read this from the King James because of how it's written. But we will look at the New American Standard because I think that's a very interesting translation. He says, behold, I want you to see this, Simon. And he's saying the same thing to the body of Christ today and to this house. I want you to see this. Open your eyes. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you, meaning he may separate you and break you and have you tossed to and fro by what people are saying. And Jesus said, but. That word but just canceled out everything else that was said. This was Satan's desire, but, say but. I have prayed for thee. Now, Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of God. And because he prayed for Peter, Peter didn't get sifted. And because he's interceding for us, guess what? We won't be sifted. Say, I won't be sifted. And not only will you not be sifted, you're going to be on assignment. And you're going to be focused with the military mindset. And then it says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, he didn't say, I'm praying that the enemy doesn't come. I'm praying that your faith don't fail. I'm praying that you operate in the faith of God. so that you can exercise your authority when he comes. And then it says, and when thou art converted, or when you have been changed, when you've gone through the metamorphosis, then strengthen your brethren. See, some of us have to allow the change to complete. Now, that word desire comes from the Greek word. I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. It's Strong's number 1809, if you want to look it up. Exahita amoehe. It says to demand for trial. A strong desire to ask, to require, to claim back. And one of the synonyms for that refers to craving and deem entitled to. So the enemy felt like he was entitled to Peter, and he had a craving to getting back. See, that's where that spirit of entitlement comes from. The enemy may feel like he's entitled to you. He might crave to have you so he could sift you, to shake you, break you, separate you. But Jesus prayed and is interceding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only is Jesus interceding, the scripture says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel. What is the blood of Jesus speaking? It's interceding. When we pray in a supernatural language, the scripture says that Holy Spirit is praying within our spirit, praying the perfect will of God, interceding. This is why praying in the spirit is so important. This is why collaborating with God through intercession is so important, because the enemy is trying to sift the body of Christ like wheat. Have everybody going by every wind of doctrine. Somebody prophesied this. Somebody said the exact opposite. And people don't know, well, who's the accurate prophet and who ain't. The enemy is trying to sift the body of Christ and have us take political sides versus being kingdom ambassadors. The enemy is trying to sift by keeping us from entering into the different spheres of influence, and everybody trying to crowd the mountain of religion. Trying to have everybody trying to do everything within the church versus being the church. So notice this as we close. The intercession was that our faith doesn't fail and that we experience change so we can strengthen others. Hallelujah. If the believer is sifted, that believer cannot make a kingdom impact, nor exercise their jurisdictional authority, because being sifted is forfeiting the authority and allowing the spirit that's doing the sifting to have the authority that we have. So, today, as we close out and leave this place, I want you to remember to collaborate, to be in the posture of intercession, to keep, like my friend Carl B. Hannon would say, to keep your spiritual eyes open, baby. When thoughts come to you that would try to have you angry at somebody or contending with somebody, know that those are fiery darts coming to try to sift you. When you start feeling like I ain't got to gather, I'll stay home today because I can watch it online. Yes, you can. But when you come in a company of the saints, there's something that happens that we pray transfers online, but there's something special about the praying from the place that he has chosen. Because remember in the scripture when it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and call upon my name, I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. It talks about turning from the wicked ways and all of that. But right before that, God told Solomon, the prayers offered up in this place. So there is a place specifically God will have you come to offer your prayer that would do something different in the realm of the spirit. So I want you to be aware, children of God. We are in spiritual warfare because we are advancing the kingdom. And we must stay in the place of intercession, collaborating with Jesus, because we will not be sifted, we're fortified.